Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars, the longest running podcast on the Pop Culture Stars Network, for obvious reasons. So anyway, this is Dr. John Stamey, and I'm coming to you from Orangeburg, South Carolina, celebrating the Prince of Orange. And I don't know, I thought Prince was purple for Purple Rain, but maybe I got all that wrong. And I'm sober, and that's what's even worse. My jokes are even worse when I'm sober. But anyway, it's good to have everybody here for Pop Culture Stars. I want to say hello to our esteemed and illustrious panel, and then we will introduce our guests and then our featured guests for the evening. So first of all, from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the one and only pressure washing author, Dave Atwell. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Yay! I'm doing good. Funny you mentioned the pressure washing, because this morning we got to work at, you know, 1:30 this morning, and one of the neat things about owning your own business and being in a manual labor job is that you no longer have to worry about how you dress. And so, of course, you know, I've been used to wearing slacks and having to run to the men's room every half hour and tuck my shirt back in. Nowadays, I wear a pair of dungaree shorts. I've bought my first pair of sneakers in 20-some-odd years. And I wear a company T-shirt that we had made. And you go out there. So this morning, you know, you're getting everything good to go. You drive out there and man, I'm here to tell you that wind started whipping around these legs, and I was like, hold on now. This is the way this is supposed to be. So,
this is not the way it's supposed to be.
No, absolutely not. But it did warm up, and turned out to be a fantastic day, and I managed to get a little bit of sunburn on September 30th. So that's a landmark. But no, otherwise, I'm enjoying a wonderful evening out here. It's nice and cool. I went ahead and threw on my, what I call my Belichick. It's a kind of raggedy sweatshirt with a hood on it. And damn, if it ain't comfortable. So outside, burning the cigar, drinking a malt beverage, and ready for the show tonight. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's good. Well, we're glad to have you here. From Indianapolis by way of Jacksonville, Todd Saxon. How are you, Todd?
Todd Zua!
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Man, it is, Dave alluded to it, today's been absolutely pleasant and cool. It's, I'm to the point I gotta have sweatpants and a sweatshirt on. I'm liking it. The weather's beautiful, and speckled trout are starting to move in inland, so moving upriver, so I'm liking it. Going to have to change my fishing from redfish to speckled trout.
Wow.
Well, that sounds interesting. We can talk about that later. I don't know anything about fishing, so I don't know what a speckled trout is. Other than it must have black spots.
I sure knew how to eat it when I made the homemade ceviche out of it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll discuss cooking later. Right, Todd? We'll discuss Todd's cooking later. And Jim Armstrong from the real Eye in the Sky near Indianapolis. How are you tonight, Tim?
I'm doing wonderful. Always glad to be here and humbled to be here. Enjoyed a nice, cool night out on the porch. Nice September evening. Got the usual vodka and Diet Coke, and I'm ready for an awesome show.
Well, that's good. All right, we have at least one guest with us tonight from the Eye in the Sky of Idaho, Malcolm Wildman. How are you, Malcolm?
I'm doing great. I'm relocating, though, to South Carolina pretty soon, probably before the end of this week, and I'm excited. Guys, I'm going down to Fort McClellan, Alabama, where I went to basic training in June of 82, and I couldn't zero my weapon. I got recycled. It took me from June to September, but I graduated, and I want to see it again, because when we did the final run, the battalion run, I got to hold the guide on a 10-mile run, and I was juiced when I was doing that back then. I didn't know anything about Hulkamania in 82. It wasn't even around, so it was running wild inside of me. at Fort McClellan in September of 82 when I was holding that guide on before it happened. So,
that's awesome.
Well, that's great. We are glad to have you here, Malcolm, as always. Is it snowing up there yet, by the way? Because I know Pocatello is up in the mountains, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's not snowing, but it was a little colder in the room last night, so I think it's getting cold here, starting to.
Okay, well, it's not getting cold in South Carolina,
Dr.
Myrtle
John,
Beach,
I'm
God knows.
I'm going to get my storage shed. I'm going to get all my wrestling jackets, you know, share them with all you guys back there. You can come down and see them. A Hulk Hogan jacket, the Roddy Piper t-shirt, the Ultimate Warrior jacket, the Bret Hart jacket, the Bailey, the Vina Rose. I knew her for 6 years, a big-time wrestling jacket about for $75. And the Warriors vest I got from Swan Michael Beck at a Hollywood show. And my Sting football jersey I got on QVC in 99. And, Dr. John, I'm bringing my photos of celebrities I met, the 4x6s. I haven't been able to get them put on disc yet, but maybe you guys can help me. I got one with Don Adams, and he's got white hair. It was either the February or April show. I think it was a February show, the second show I went to. And Don Adams got white hair and a white mustache, and we were talking about Inspector Gadget. We were talking about Tennessee Tuxedo. We were talking about that grocery store he had on USA Network in the 80s. We were talking about that. But the best thing we were talking about was him as Maxwell Smart. And he was talking about Fang 99. And Bernie Capel Siegfried came over. And he was doing Siegfried with Maxwell Smart. Nobody else wanted to meet him, but I was having a treat, man, watching them two perform together. So, yeah.
I bet it was
that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
I want
good.
You to see the picture. I want everybody to see the picture. When you make that website for me, Dr. John, that picture with me and Don Adams, I'm so proud of that. And he's not here anymore, but he was such a cool guy. So, and Bernie Capel, too. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, we're glad to have you here, Malcolm. And tonight, our special guest, our featured guest from Charleston, South Carolina, professional wrestler, and all-around good guy, the amazing Velvet. Let's all give Velvet a round of applause.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank That's you. Right, hey, Velvet. It's great to have you here.
No applause.
First time.
No applause. Just throw money.
Yeah, well, we never mind. That didn't matter. We already applauded. So anyway, Velvet.
By the way, what is your first thing?
You know what? I've called
Velvet,
so long. I can't even remember your real name.
Dave.
Is it David Kerr or Kerr?
David Kerr.
David
okay,
Kerr. K E R R.
Okay, great. All right, Velvet. Anyway, it's great to have you here. So my first question to you is, and it makes sense. A lot of people may not have heard of you, but you have wrestled on the independent circuit for a long, long time. You had a great teacher.
Yes. Yes.
You've worked hard at your profession. So give us the thumbnail history of the Amazing Velvet's wrestling life.
Well, as my family would say, that I started loving professional wrestling at 4 years of age, and they weren't wrong. But watching the, you know, through the 70s and through all of the 80s, I when I came out of high school, I said, I'm going to do this. And so it didn't happen right away. And about 4 or 5 years later, it was 1990, and I said, you know, I'm going to get into this. And I met some guys that left the power plant, and I worked out with those guys. And then, you know, I learned a lot on the road because basically I didn't know where to go other than the power plant. The power plant wanted like $6,000. You had to, you know, do everything they wanted you to do, work out at their place, this and that, all this stuff. So anyway, so I learned a lot of stuff on the indies, and I got lucky not to get taken advantage of or beat up or whatever. So I came across Susan Green and Judy Martin and Leilani Kai. And, of course, Judy Martin and Leilani Kai were the glamour girls. And I was talking to them. I said, well, y'all got trained by Moolah and all this. And I said, so, you know, where's there a place to go? And Susan walks right up and goes, you come to my gym. It's called the Gym of Pain and Glory, and I will train you the right way. So I said, okay. A week later, I went there, and she goes, forget everything you learned. We're going to start from the ground up, and trust me, I just took a beating from there. And I learned my craft. I learned it the hard way, but I also learned it to do the correct way. And I, like these kids today, don't understand. They, you know, they want to do what you see on TV now. We got to do that now. I want to do this. I want to slow down. You need to learn, and you also need to be respectful. And they're not respectful today. I carried bags for 3 years for Susan, Judy, Leilani, and whoever for 3 years. I didn't win a match for the first 3 years under her tutelage. And once she cut me loose, she goes, "You know what? You've been ready. I just wanted to make sure that you did it the right way and you know what you're doing and that you can protect yourself and take care of yourself and put on the show, put on a great show." And that's basically how it happened.
Now, what time frame was that?
I started with her probably late 91, going into 92. And then I got married in 93, so I had to take some time off. And then I started back right after that. And then we had our twins in 96. So about that time, I was really getting let go by her to hit the independents the right way and all that. So yeah, it was a lot. Worked a 40-hour week job, you know. I managed grocery stores for 30 years. I've wrestled for 30 years. So I mean, I did it all while having a regular 9-to-5 job, basically.
Well,
so
as regular
as
grocery store management can be at 9-to-5, it's a little
difficult.
Well,
it was never
there,
9-to-5, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I mean, I worked, and then when I had big shows, right, and if I had a big show or if I had three weekends back-to-back, I told them. Of course, I was the boss, so I could just say, "Hey, you're covering."
Right. All right. Now, let me ask you this.
That was fun.
What was
your
biggest and most exciting match, your most memorable match, and who
was
it with, and tell us a little bit about it?
It really wasn't a match per se. It was it turned out to be a beating, but it was awesome. I mean, I could never ask for anything better than this. I was managing a guy when I first got cut loose, and I had wrestled some, you know. And this guy goes, "Hey man, I really want you to manage me. You have a great, you can talk. You know, you be the mic guy. I'll be the wrestler." Blah blah blah. So anyway, this is before Walter McDaniel passed away, probably about 3 or 4 years before he passed away. We had booked Walter McDaniel, and Walter came in, and he's like super nice and all this, and he's like, "But listen," he goes, "I'm going to chop you." He goes, "You just keep your chin up, and I'll take care of you." I said, "What are you talking about? You going to chop me?" I said, "Who?" I said, "Wait a minute." I was running around going, "Hey, where did this come from?" And they said, "Oh, no, he's just playing with you. He's just playing with you." Well, no, it wasn't. We went out there, and unbeknownst to me, my partner, the gambler, goes, "Hey, Dave, what are Indians good for?" I said, "Only two things, drinking and playing bingo." And I handed Walter McDaniel a bingo card. So I had a bingo card in my hand. I handed it to him, right? And I went, "Uh-oh." I said, "Now I understand why they said he was going to chop me." So he chopped me so hard that I did a backflip over the stairs that were next to the ring. My buddy runs away. Next thing you know it, as I'm crawling up to the ring apron, there were four Indians surrounding me and are surrounding the ring. I went, "Oh, this is going to be really bad."
Wow.
So I tried to, like they do on TV, I said, "You know what? If I'm going to get beat, we're going to do it right." I run around the ring, and then I shoot up into the ring, and I'm crawling on all fours, and then I look up, and they're all standing there. Here's where it gets dicey. I look at Wahoo. He's got a rug over his shoulder. I said, "What the hell's a rug for?" He pulls out his Indian strap and proceeded to beat me like I stole something from him. I was like, "Holy crap." And they took turns, and I'm like, "Oh, this sucks." But that was my best moment, because basically that was for the boys to tell me, "Welcome to the business. We accept you. Now we can go on from here."
That was,
Well, so you had a reverse Indian strap match.
Basically. And it didn't stop there because the very next weekend I had to wrestle Greg the Hammer Valentine, and he dropped my spine to the floor, so that was great too. So, yeah, welcome to the business, young man.
By the way, we have another guest joining us from Richmond, Virginia, Professor Wrestling Stogan. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Yes.
Good. Just listening in.
Steve-o.
That's good. Well, Steve, since you're the last person to join us, I'm going to let you ask the next question to the amazing, amazing Velvet.
Oh, I got a reverse Uno, Velvet. Who was one guy that you wish you could have worked with?
Ooh. Well, you know what? Being that, that's hard, dude. You really got me on that one. Because there's really two. Eddie Guerrero, of course, hands down, that I would love to work with. But a guy who pretty much died before I really got into the business and the wrestling aspect of it, I would have really loved to work Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because he wasn't a big guy. He was 5'7", 5'8", at best. He wasn't a big guy, but, man, he could go, man. He could put a match on. All you got to do is go ahead.
No, Latino Heat and Hot Stuff. Let's see a team going.
The thing is, I'm friends with the Guerreros family, and that would have been one. But, I mean, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, when I was watching wrestling on a regular basis, wanting to get into the business, he was one of the guys that really I wanted to emulate. I wanted to be that guy, you know. But I was a heel first. I wasn't a babyface. I mean, my babyface run was very short until I became the Amazing Velvet. But my heel run was probably 6-7 years before I even became Velvet.
Okay, now Velvet. Eddie Gilbert, are you talking about Eddie Gilbert that used to tag with Tommy Rich?
That's the one.
Yes.
Velvet.
Now did he die?
Because he helped create the Steiner brothers too. Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah, but
the
thing about it is, maybe I was wrong, but about 2 years ago, I thought I saw Eddie Gilbert, an aged Eddie Gilbert, wrestle with an aged Tommy Wildfire Rich in Myrtle Beach.
No.
In a tag.
Was that Doug?
That was
Doug Gilbert. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, who is Doug? Is that a brother?
I don't think so. I think it's like people being Andersons and people being, you know, different, you know, using different names in the business. I don't think he had anything. I don't think they were brothers. I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Velvet.
I was just asking.
Velvet, Malcolm, the Universal Wrestling Federation back in 86. I swear, I think I saw Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert team up with Tommy Wildfire Rich.
Well, yeah, he didn't die until somewhere in the 90s.
They're brothers.
I think.
Oh, yeah,
they are
brothers.
They are brothers.
Tommy Gilbert's their dad.
Right.
Sorry, Steve.
I wasn't paying attention.
So I wasn't terribly wrong.
But no.
Okay. All right. Got you. All right. Well, thanks. That was a good question, and I had a not so good question that had an amazing answer. I guess I get lucky. Hey, Dave, you're sitting back there not saying a word. Get into this conversation, Dave Atwell.
Because I'm smoking a cigar and I'm drinking beer. That's why. I've got my priorities straight.
Yes, he does.
You better really get them straight now. Ask the Amazing Velvet a question.
But you was talking about Wahoo a couple moments ago. Funny story about Wahoo is he was signing autographs. This is back in the 90s. He was signing autographs at a Walmart in Wallace, North Carolina. And there are parts of North Carolina that I learned you know, wrestling is a serious, it's a religion there.
Absolutely.
And it's funny you said you had managed a grocery store. I'd done the same thing for 35 years before I finally wised up and decided to pressure wash in 60-degree weather. But I was managing a Bergall store at the time, and I was always famous for walking around in the Four Horsemen shirts. Well, we had gone to an event at Lawrence Joel out there in Winston-Salem, and I had picked up an NWO shirt, the original one, you know, because I didn't have it. You know, it was one of the shirts I didn't have, right? So, of course, leave it to me. I had to unload a truck, and I always took my uniform shirt off, my button-up shirt, and wore a shirt under it. Well, they called me up front, and I came up front with an NWO shirt on, and I lied to you not. These folks didn't talk to me for, like, 2 months, and finally it kind of thawed out. But, so one of the guys I work with, I'm very close to this day, he said, hey, Wahoo's signing at the Wallace Walmart. Now, this Walmart, up until probably 10, 12 years ago, was like Walmart store number 6. I mean, you still had guys selling watermelons out of the back of their trucks in parking lots. I mean, it was as close to a Dollar General as Walmart will get. So we went out there, and I mean, the whole town of Wallace is standing in line to get autographs with Wahoo McDaniel, right? So we were about five guys away. I'm about 5-6 head back in line, and me and Mike are standing there in line. And Mike, out of nowhere, I have no idea why he did this, but he just hollered top. I mean, and he used to do a spot on Ric Flair anyway. But he come out of the back of that line with, "Wahoo, you and me outside shopping contest right now, big man. Woo!" I'm here to tell you, the whole damn place went silent, right? And you just see everybody just turns around and looks at us. Wahoo just kind of leans to the side and looks around. And I looked at Mike and I said, "Fantastic, Mike. Well done. My wife's pregnant. And now we're going to die." I appreciate that.
That's funny.
I got up there to the table, and I don't scare easy. I got up there to the table, and I mean, if I was willing to affiliate with any god that was going to save my ass that evening, whether it be Odin or Allah or whoever, and I got up there, and Wahoo looked at us, and he goes, "So you boys Ric Flair fans, huh?" And I kind of pointed at Mike like, "He is. I'm a Wahoo fan, thanks." You know, and Rick's a good friend of mine. Rick's a good guy. So let me tell you something. I have never let out so much air of my lungs at one time.
Well,
I thought the first one who was good. But he is, he was one hell of a good guy. But, man, he's another one. Just had a intimidating presence
look,
about
stare.
Him.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And you'd heard the stories about him beating up like 15 Tampa cops in one, you know, that bar fight. And
he had one in Charleston with Ole Anderson.
Really?
Yeah. It was never published because where they had the wrestling events, the bar was a block and a half down the street, and they would wait for all the fans to leave, and they would just walk over to the bar, and this dude goes, "Hey, you're Ole Anderson." He goes, "Yeah, what about it?" He goes, "I don't like you." And he goes, "I don't like you neither." And it started, and Wahoo was in the corner, and he'd come out the corner just killing people. And they were like, "Oh, crap."
It's
great. Basically, it's great.
Yeah, Wahoo get hold of you. And I've heard the same about Ole, too. I heard Ole is just a mean, nasty person to be around.
He was mean. And he was. He was. First of all, he was bitter to the business, okay, because it did him wrong.
Right.
And it was getting wrong while he was still working it. So, yeah, that was a guy you didn't want to piss off in a bar. Trust me.
Hey, hate to do the interruption, but we do have somebody in the queue. I'm guessing it's
we
Granny
don't have
Hulkster.
Anybody in the queue, Todd. We don't. We have with us tonight Granny Hulkster. How are you doing, Granny?
Oh, Lord.
Well, I apologize, guys, for calling in a few minutes late. I didn't have my phone with me earlier, and I just got home, and so I could just now call in. But I wanted to call in because after the day I've had today, guys, I need a lot of love and hugs from
we
my,
got a lot
from
of love
my
for you,
Granny, podcast
I'll
family.
That.
I've had a most exasperating day. I had nearly had a blowout. I had to have my car towed because I didn't have a spare tire. And then I had to purchase a new tire for my car. And it's been, and I'm getting ready to go see my mom for a couple of days. And they messed up on my reservation and charged me before I even got checked into the hotel. And they were blaming the hotel for charging my card. And like, no, so I had to. So they canceled my reservation, and I just made the reservation directly with the hotel. So it's been one of those days, guys. So I'm glad to be on here with you all because I love you all so very much.
Granny,
and hello,
good.
Velvet. Hello, Velvet.
Granny, if
hello,
I would have been here, I'd change your tire for you.
Well, honey, you couldn't have changed my tire because I didn't have a spare, and I tried
well,
to tear it up and the way.
I was on a
highway, Malcolm. I was not even
I could have done
gas
it.
Station.
I could have done if I can do a 25-mile road march with full pack in 25
well,
below weather. I could do it.
I was on a highway, so there was no gas station in sight. But continue on with the story, Velvet. This has been amazing. So.
And we're glad you're here. And then as soon as Velvet finishes that story, Malcolm, it's your turn. So, Velvet, finish your story.
Before that, you've got to do a station break. In fact, why don't you go ahead and
okay.
do a station break
right.
within
thank
3 minutes.
Station break. And thank you for VOC Nation and for Brady Hicks for having us on 5 o'clock p.m. on Friday. Pop Culture Stars is on VOC Nation. And by the way, I don't know where or when, but Brady is going to be I think Brady is our Halloween guest on ScaryCast, which means we're also going to have a Halloween guest. So yeah, everybody better be there. Now, it's going to be fun. Brady Hicks, Ghost Hunter. McCray is going to be ready for him. And then
drunk?
We're going to have somebody else. we're getting them all lined up because today is the first. Today is, I hope today is October 1st. No, it's the 30th.
No, today's the 30th. Tomorrow's October 1st. Tomorrow's
yeah, right.
October
I said
1st.
Today's the 30th. And what's important about tomorrow, Velvet, can I tell everybody what's important about tomorrow to me?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. I am eaten up. I am the biggest fan of ladies professional wrestling from the 60s, 70s, and 80s you have ever met. And tomorrow at A. Maurice's Barbecue in the Columbia area, I can't tell which one, but at A. Maurice's Barbecue, I'm going to have lunch with Velvet and, are you ready? Judy Martin and Susan Green, both ladies world heavyweight.
Awesome.
And I cannot awesome. Wait. I'm bringing them flowers and I'm going to buy them lunch. I mean, you know, what
Absolutely.
Else can I do but propose?
Photographic evidence.
Dr. John, can
right?
you give
well,
me an autograph?
I will have it. Don't worry.
Judy Martin with the Glamour Girls and Leilani Kai?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, not Leilani
yeah.
Kai won't be there, but it's going to be Judy Martin and Susan.
No,
Martin.
I just
choose I'll
Judy
have
to sign on it. Leilani to sign it in the future.
Okay.
We'll do it, Malcolm, just for you. But anyway, so that's what's going on with me and Velvet tomorrow. I'm already down here in the Columbia area. We're getting ready. I to warm up, I had some Maurice's Barbecue for dinner. It was great. Oh my God, it is like the nectar of the gods, Maurice's Barbecue. So that's a free plug for Maurice, and that's what I'm doing. And did you finish your? I don't even remember. I
no,
interrupted
awesome.
And I started.
Do your commercial.
Okay, I've commerced. We have commerced. So anyway, and thanks VSC Nation to Brady Hicks. All right, now, Velvet, do you have any more story to add, or do I go to Malcolm to ask?
You go to Malcolm. I think we're good.
Malcolm, it is your turn with our guest tonight, the amazing one, amazing Velvet.
Velvet, I just want to ask you, because I never was a wrestler. I got in a wrestling ring two times. One time to congratulate this over 300-pound wrestler, Mother Truckin' Otis, at Big Time Wrestling. And he turned around, he swung his arm and knocked me down. And I shot up like Bo Jackson, and the whole Newark Pavilion went nuts. And the other time is Scotty Too Hottie was there for an event, him and Val Venus, in the summer. I think it was like 2009. And Scotty Too Hottie had this little kid in the ring. He was trying to show me how to do the worm that he was known to do for, you know. And when I tried to do it, I'm too tall, so I couldn't extend my body like, and I didn't really know how to, you know, flex my body
right.
Like Scotty could. So Scotty says to me, Velvet, well, most people do the worm like this little boy Malcolm humps the ring.
Love it.
Yeah.
Right?
But I never got in there, you know, to wrestle. And when I was younger, my dad pushed me into sports, the Raiders, the A's, the Warriors, the 49ers, the Giants. And he said, son, you're going to junior high. You need to put the cartoons and the comic books away and stop watching that stupid wrestling on Saturday and be a man, son. Get into sports, son. You know, you got to be a man. You're going to junior high next year. I told Scotty Steiner, I had dreams. I used to watch Big Time Wrestling on Saturday, and I wanted to go. I was going into seventh grade the next year, and I wanted to go into Greco-Roman wrestling in seventh grade. They don't have baseball or basketball or football till you're in ninth grade. And I wanted to do this, and because my dad, you know, put all that sports garbage in me, you know, I do love all the sports teams that I've watched over the years, but he pushed part of my childhood away from me. I had to give up Speed Racer, and I loved Speed Racer, and watching, and Dad said watching Batman and Robin was ridiculous. I'm getting too old for that, you know. So I told Scotty I wanted to do this, and then I was at Fort Jackson, mm-hmm. South Carolina. I was discharged on March 31st, 1995, and if I would have stayed there, I got on the phone and told my brother there was this VA female lady from the VA hospital where in South Carolina. I didn't know exactly where it was, but she was going to take me back to rebuild my life. I got out of the Army on a mental disability issue, and it was a tough thing for me to deal with. And I get on the phone and tell my brother and my mom in Danville, California, I'm going to stay here. And my brother says, well, man, you can come back here, stay with me and mom. We'll get your life back together. You know, and like an idiot, instead of staying in South Carolina, where a few years later they're going to start the WCW power plant, I told Scotty Steiner, I not only do good wrestling impressions, I could have been a wrestler, man. I know I could have if I would have stayed there, but I was stupid enough to go back to California. But, you know, Velvet, I never got to be a wrestler, and I just want to know, you know, what it felt like the first time your opponent put his wrestling move on you when – you first got in that squared circle for the first time. What was the feeling going through your mind? Because it probably would have been like Road Warrior Hawk used to say, what a rush for me, you know. So that's how I went.
Well, you know, the biggest thing with the first time you get into, you have a show, and it's your first show or whatever, maybe say a handful. You've had a handful, and they didn't go so well. But the whole thing is this. You don't really feel anything. Adrenaline's flowing. Your music hits. You hit out there. You do your thing. And you don't feel nothing until maybe an hour later and go, oh, what? I don't know. That hurting. And then you realize, oh, yeah, you're the dummy that took the superplex off the top of you. You just said, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And that was
my
welcome,
question.
One of my welcomes to the business.
Oh, I'm sorry, Velvet.
No, go ahead.
My second question for you is, don't you think it's important? Some people don't believe this, but I think it's very important to have humor in wrestling. I was talking to Dr. John about one thing, but there's two other moments that just broke me up. like it was September, I think the first week, 2019 on Raw last year, and it's when Rey Mysterio and his son got beat up by Brock Lesnar at the beginning of the show. Well, Hogan and Flair were going to have this Team Hogan and Team Flair, and Hogan announced that Seth Rollins, the Kingslayer, was going to be his captain of his team, and then Flair brought out Randy Orton, the Viper, and Randy gets in the ring and he says, and this broke me up, he says, "Hey, Seth, when you're through with your head up Hogan's ass, you want to address me?" And Flair goes, "Woo!" Like that. And then the other one, I mentioned Wendy Dr. John, but the other one was when Hogan and Hall and Nash debuted in February of 2002 on Raw. Vince brought him in, you know, as the Poison, you know, for all the other wrestlers, and Hogan was in the back, and he was asking The Rock, him and Hall and Nash, if they could take a Polaroid together like Thunder Lips did on Rocky III, you know, Rocky Balboa asked Thunder Lips if he could have a Polaroid,
right.
And then The Rock takes a picture with them, and they start making fun of him behind his back, so The Rock comes back. "Oh, you guys, you think you're all that? You Diesel, you the bad guy. You Hogan, brother." You know, just laughing. And then Steve Austin's in the back. And Steve, they offered Steve a six-pack of beer. And Steve looks at it. He goes, "I don't want it." He goes, "Well, save it for later, man." He goes, he looks at it. He throws it over his shoulder. But the funniest one, Velvet, I'm serious, the funniest one, was when they debuted is I think Hall and Nash hit The Rock in the back of the head and they put him in a gurney in an ambulance. And Hogan, Hall, and Nash were all in this big semi. And Hogan goes, "I'm going to lay the smack down on his crippled ass, brother." I just started laughing.
Well, thank you, Malcolm.
Humor is very important in wrestling. I don't give a damn what anybody says. No.
Wow. Well, thank you, Malcolm. Now, I tell you what, Tim, you would be next, but since I know that Steve has to leave us very shortly, Tim, can I give Steve one more round, and then we'll come right to you. Is that okay?
You betcha. That's fine with me.
Okay. Steve, why don't you ask one more question to our guest of the evening, the Amazing Velvet?
Yeah, sure. By the way, I wanted to follow up earlier. I did meet Eddie Guerrero at a fan meet and greet years ago, and that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask, like, you said you had a favorite, you shared your favorite moment. Is there a match that you can talk about that is one of your favorites?
Oh. There was one when my partner was injured. Of course, the tag team was called Sinfully Sweet, and it was Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet. Well, my partner at the time was injured, and we were supposed to be in a TLC match with Dementia 13, who still wrestles today. They're younger than I am. But anyway, make a long story short, we got into this match, and one of the guys is Darkness, and he's 6'5", but he's only like 170 pounds. He's skinny. And he was like, "I'm going to spear you to the table." And I said, "No, you're not." I said, "The other guy's going to do it." He goes, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "We got a 20-foot ladder. I'm going to bulldog you off the top of the ladder." And he goes, "Nah, I don't think so." So I get speared through the table. The table hit me in the forehead, and I got color real quick the hard way. So I'm bleeding, and in South Carolina, you can't bleed. But this was an accident, if you bleed, you have to cut to the chase and finish the match within a minute, or you get fined. But because this was an accident, they let it go. So I grab Darkness, and I proceed to climb this 20-foot ladder. The whole time, he's screaming, "No." And I'm like, "Tough, we're going off the top of this ladder." So we went off the top of the ladder. He's mad when we hit the ground. He's mad and I'll get up. And the best part of it, though, was they had a cameraman from the news station after we had come off the top of that ladder. That was the clip for the local news of what's coming off the top. And he gets down at mat level, and he sees my face, and I'm just blowing bubbles out of my mouth through the blood. And they were like, oh, that's disgusting. But it was a great match because
nice.
it had all the great players from my area of South Carolina. Dimension 13 is Darkness and Kurgan, and then it had Rufio, Russian, Italian Ice, and of course Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet. But it was hard hitting because we're old school. We're gonna make, you know, when you get chopped, you're getting chopped. You get hit in the back with a forearm, no, everybody's gonna hear it. So, you know, we lay it in there a little bit.
Lay it in
other places. We do, because I've been to New York and I hit this guy one time. He goes, oh man, you need to lighten up. You're hitting me too hard. I said, dude, you're 300 pounds. I said, I'm 155. I'm 155 pounds at 5'3" and a quarter. Hello. And so he got mad at me after the match and said, why'd you hit me so hard? I said, come down south. I said, you either stay up here or you come down south. You figure it out. Nope. He never made his travels past Virginia. So
that's awesome.
But I'm just saying, those things are fun. I got so many, but I think that's because all those players I've known Darkness and Kurgan since they were 15 years old, and I think they're now 31 or 32. So I've known them quite a while. But yeah, it's fun to do stuff with people that you can have chemistry with, and everybody says that, but undeniable, these guys can work anybody in the business.
Oh, is so. There? Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Was there any wrestlers that influenced you on becoming a major villain?
Actually, I got to meet. The exotic Adrian Street, who really started with him, me trying to be like him with the sparkles. And I used to have this butterfly top. I still have a shiny butterfly top, like a vest. And so I really wanted to emulate him. So when I met him, I said, listen, I said, I'm doing this character called the Amazing Velvet. And he goes, oh, such a wonderful gimmick, isn't it? You can do anything you want to. He goes, you have my blessing. He goes, you have my blessing. You do it well, young man. I was like, all right.
That's awesome.
But yeah,
that's freaking great.
My wife actually came up with the name, which was funny. Sitting around the kitchen table with a bunch of wrestlers, and my wife comes up with the name, and I went, I'm out of here.
And you should have said, thank you, honey.
Awesome.
Thank you, honey. That's great.
I did,
hey,
but it was like when I heard it at first. Huh?
That's all Stone
you did,
Cold
and then you ran to the den.
Yeah, right. I was like, I just shook my head, and it was funny, but it stuck, and everybody, I mean, Dr. John called me Velvet. Everybody called me Velvet. Then they go, what is your name again? You've known me for 20 years. What is your real name?
And your name's the Amazing Velvet, so shut up. That's
pretty much.
Damn
pretty
name.
Much.
That's exactly right. Hey, Velvet, I can't wait for you and I to walk into some store or something, and I start calling you Velvet. They're going to say, what? I say, that's the Amazing Velvet.
Well,
he's a rat star.
And well, in South Carolina, I can't go anywhere without anybody knowing me, so you're going to be the one going, oh, who is this? Oh, this is Dr. John.
Well, you better know who I am. Yeah. That's exactly right. I'm the crazy paranormal dude. But anyway, that's great. Hey, Steve, thanks for those. Okay, and
yeah,
I want
thanks,
the next
Steve.
Two
that
people in
great.
The tour. I want to do Tim, and then I want to do Todd. I don't think Todd's had a question. So anyway, Tim, what do you have for the amazing one?
So the longer I do this show as a co-host, more I learn little tidbits here and there. I wasn't as big recently as of a fan. Of course, I was a childhood fan. So, yeah, but it's fun to
right.
pick up on all. But one of the things I had a question about was some of the behind the scenes action, if you will. So, usually when it comes to like we'll say stage performers or people that are doing a lot of times comedians will do this or whatever, but when they're doing like impromptu things, usually when they're on
right.
stage. Especially if you've got somebody that, you know, you work well with, you're like best friends, whatever. You've got like little inside jokes. You do things that will set the other one off when they're not set off, you know, and try to get them to break character or, you know, stuff along those lines. And I was curious if you had any kind of experiences like that or how big that plays into wrestling. Do you ever have, you know, I mean, there's someone that just, you two just kind of go at it and try to get the other one to break a little bit. You're like, oh man, I can't believe he did that crap, and kind of start to lose. I was curious. I think it happens a lot.
It does. And you know, especially when you run your own show, and I ran my own show successfully through the 90s to about 2004 when the business really changed and I shut it down for a while. Anyway, but when you run your own show, everybody, oh, well, you run, you're going to be champion, you're going to put yourself over. I never put myself over. We lost every single match, and I lost every single match. So, first of all, if you do it right, that's what you're supposed to do. It's not about you. It's about everybody else. And I was never in the main event. So, you know, so anyway, so speaking of what you're saying, I used to always, certain wrestlers, yes, and I used to get a certain referee. A certain referee would always be like, I don't want to referee your match. Please don't let me referee your match. Because I was gonna goose him when they went to go. I go check him out. Go check him, and they turn around and go check him, and I'd pinch his butt or whatever, or slap him on the hiney. And they would, if they were bald, I'd have big lipstick on, and I would kiss them on the forehead, you know, on the head. They would have this big old lip print on their head for the whole match. So here's where it gets dicey, and I'm gonna be as nice as possible to say this, okay?
I don't believe that you can do that, Velvet. How can you be as nice as possible?
It's gonna be hard because, like, when they came to check me, I would lean over the ropes, or I would stick my legs and do a split on the ropes. So from the come check me, honey, and all this stuff, they're like, no, absolutely not. Well, I had a buddy of mine. He used to be my play-by-play guy. So when we would do stuff on the internet, and he's doing the commentating. Well, he loved all the antics I was doing. Well, he decided he was going to get on the act this one day. Full house, in front of 400 people, standing room only in an armory. We're all getting ready to do our thing, and they all wanted to see Velvet. I come out, we're getting ready to do our thing, and the match has started, and I got the guy down in the corner, and I'm getting ready to climb to the top rope. And I look over at the announce table. He's holding up a sign. And I'm like, what does that say? And he kept pulling it down and putting it back up, pulling it down. So I said, what is he doing? So we go on about the match, and all of a sudden I got the guy in the corner. I'm getting ready to give him the Bronco Buster. And he holds the sign up loud and proud. It says, teabag him, Velvet. I went, oh, and I broke character. I ran and fell down on my face laughing. And the guy in the corner's like, hey, you were supposed to hit me. I said, ain't happening, Captain. I said, turn around and look. So he crawled over, and he's got the sign, hold it up. I was like, oh, my God. I just embarrassed myself in front of 400 people. It was funny, though. But, I mean, things like that do happen, yes. Oh, yeah, but things like that happen all the time. Like, so, you know, it just
great.
It's, dude. We had so much fun with that they became a regular thing. Like if we went out of town and we didn't do Charleston and we wrestled somewhere else, he'd scream it. I'm like, oh, God, here we go again.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
That's right.
It is. I mean,
that's right.
Happen.
They do. All right. Hey, Tim, great question. All right. We're going to go now. The next person and the person after that. The next person is Todd, and then following Todd is going to be Granny Hulkster, because I say so.
Yay.
Right? So Todd for the amazing one. And then Malcolm, you're going to be after Grant. So.
I went.
As long as it's a question, Malcolm.
Yeah, but right now it's Todd. The Todd Saxton, ask your question, please.
Yeah, Todd. I was so going to run with what was one of the funniest things that happened, but apparently Tim, with the whole breaking character routine, actually went through that. So I'm going to go to a completely different track. That was a stinking great story, by the way. Golly.
Yeah.
All right.
Loved
well,
it.
From what I understand is you have your own promotion. Is that right?
Correct. It's called Battleground Championship Wrestling. We've been running since 2015. And in 2017, I got stricken with cancer in 2016. I found out I had colorectal cancer. During 17, I had two major surgeries, and on September, it was in September, like second or third week of September, we had a benefit show for me, which was awesome. And then, I went back to work, which I shouldn't have. I went back to work and in 18, they said, you're not working anymore. The chemo is going to get in too intense, which it did. And everything else. So then it metastasized into my liver. So, and then it metastasized again into my lung. So I'm fast forwarding. Okay. So we don't have to deal with all that anyway. So this past year in March of this year, March 3rd, to be exact, I had 25% of my liver removed. And then April 26th, I had a spot for my lung removed. It was a Hail Mary for me to stay alive, and being the fact that I was technically healthy, being a wrestler, I didn't do any drugs, didn't do any steroids, didn't do any of that stuff, didn't pop pills. So they said, listen, this is what we're doing. I said, go for it. I said, you do your job, I'll do mine. Well, I just had a scan 2 weeks ago, and they didn't find anything. So I'm going to take the win. I'm not cancer-free, but...
Let's give
it
a round of applause now.
That is awesome.
I'm going to start. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wasn't expecting you to spill your guts on air.
Let me tell you something. When you have a life-changing experience,
amen,
and somebody,
brother.
You almost had, I mean, you got me with what you were saying before you finish you get into your real question. The thing is, when you have that kind of experience, it needs to be shared because people just don't understand what people go through. You know, I motored through everything. I was told I was going to be that and another thing. I was going to be bedridden. I refused to be bedridden. Every day my feet hit the floor, I got up and I went and I did whatever I had to do. And that's what I did. I mean, I was doing chemo 3 days a week, every week. And by Saturday, I was crashed. I couldn't get out of the bed. But I did anyway. I fought every minute of it. But here's the thing. This was a home run. So far, I'll take the win. I'm setting my ring back up this week coming. I got a new class of kids coming in to train. I'll be able to start training. I won't be able to take any bumps. But hopefully, I'll be able to take some bumps by the first of the year. And I may, if it's possible, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if possible, I will have maybe 3 or 4 more matches with people I really want to do, but it's not going to be anything crazy. I'm not going to go out and try to hurt myself. So, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But that's my plan. But
that's awesome. So. Let me tell you, and we're going to kind of make it more, is Todd to David, if you will, vice Todd to Velvet. One of the premises of this show, my opinion, my humble opinion, is that we're very real. We're pretty freaking honest.
Yeah.
We don't always agree with each other, things like that, and
right.
We share things. And you have added another layer to that. So thank you for sharing, because that is some real stuff. Man, bless you, brother. Big hugs.
And you know, thank you. And you know what? Nobody believes my age when I tell them, and I say I'm 53 years old, and they go, "What?" They go, "You don't even look 53." I said, "Well, it's because I punished my body long enough in that ring to try to stay young and keep up with these youngsters, and try to teach them something. You know, try to teach them some respect."
Velvet, I thought you were 103. Oh, well, never
mind. Yeah.
I had to say it because I'm 147. I mean, you know, I just had to say it. Velvet. We're proud of you, Velvet.
We
really are.
I can relate about the whole age thing in a different way, Velvet. I did 20 years in the Marine Corps, and by the end,
well, thank you, sir.
Was, the youngins were not fun to try to keep up with.
No.
I remember out there. I remember out there recruiting duty, and we go out there and we'd be, you know, doing some of the different things. And you go out there and you go to do an ad hoc. You know, we'd be like, oh, let's do a easy thing this weekend. Let's we'll go play football. And man, trying to keep up with those 16, 17, 18 year olds, 19 year olds, good grief. Oh man.
Well, you know, because they're,
I get it.
Because they're loaded to bear, man.
Hey, Todd, my sister married my recruiter. How about that?
Yeah, I remember you telling this story. The,
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's, oh, good grief. The,
right.
let me throw in a recruiter thing, and then we'll be able to go to a station break. The,
we're going
to
break the station.
It could be that. No, I don't think this will break the station.
In the
recruiter,
who knows?
Well, the Marine Corps is roughly 10% of the military on 7% of the military's budget. And that's kind of always been the case. And fortunately, I'm blessed enough to be back with them, and I'm helping trying to play with some of that craziness as well as some of the stuff Tim does. The he had a sign on his desk that said maximum utilization of available resources. that's just one of those things.
Now, Todd, hold on. Does that mean if you've got some boxes of instant brownies in your cupboard, you need to take them all out and make them now?
No, you just need
that
to know how to make them.
Dave, thank God somebody laughed at that one. I thought it was funny. Go ahead, Todd.
Were you from MRE?
Oh, man. Oh, God. God bless. Well, Malcolm, you know, look, the MREs aren't what they were then. They still fuss about them. Malcolm and I remember the old MREs that everything was just, God, the dehydrated pork patties.
Yeah, remember the brownies? Brownies like rocks.
God almighty.
I still want to try one of the chicken noodle. There's a chicken noodle MRE out there somewhere. I want to try that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You can catch it, Tori.
You know what's terrifying is the only MRE that I really liked was this chicken a la king, and then they all got recalled. I'm like,
yeah,
oh, that was the only
good.
One I liked was contaminated.
Oh, my God.
True that's story. Funny. The it's just the way it went. The all right, so we're there for the station break. So at this point, I'm going to drop it back over to Dr. John.
Say thank you, Brady Hicks, and the absolutely wonderful and the only VOC Nation. And by the way, I will say that Wrestling Tonight premieres this Sunday night, 10 p.m., on VOC Nation. So please be sure to listen to it. Me and Chaz Moretti, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we got some fellow that used to be a wrestler, and he's a wrestler now. I don't remember his name. And then we got Sunny, the California girl. She's so sweet. No, she is. She's great. So we got somebody nice on there besides me and Chad and some dude that wrestler. So it's the truth. It's like nobody ever tells me who's on there. Huh? If you're real nice, Malcolm, we'll let you on.
Okay.
You know that.
Okay.
So don't worry about that. All right, back to you, Todd.
Okay, well, at this point, what I'm going to do is I definitely want to talk, make sure that Velvet gets some time to talk about the promotion later. But at this point, I know Granny's in queue, so.
Yeah, Granny
Hollister.
Yeah, Granny.
It's going to go Granny, and then it's going to go Dave Atwell, and then I'll get whoever else is next on. So anyway, Granny, take it away.
Well, hey, Velvet.
Hey.
If you could do a dream match, I mean, just some, who would it be with? I mean, it could be past, present, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, who would you want to have a dream
present.
Match with?
I'd probably
singles, tags, whatever.
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean,
Orange Cassidy.
Everybody would think Ric Flair. Everybody wants to wrestle Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
You know what? I'm gonna leave that one alone because
I'm going to go opposite of that because I'm going to go back to the AWA.
Okay.
I would like to have a tag team match. It'd be an ugly tag team match, but it would be awesome. My partner would be Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, wow.
And we would wrestle. We would wrestle Nick Bockwinkle and Larry Zbysko.
Oh, I love it.
Wow.
And Larry Zbysko?
Wow.
Dude.
Love some Larry Zbysko.
That would be awesome. That
Excuse
would
me,
be awesome.
The living legend
Larry
Zbysko.
Larry.
Larry Lynn.
Hey, just for the record, Sergeant Slaughter is the nickname I have for my wife.
Wait,
what's that?
What? Say that again.
I said, just for the record,
who is
Sergeant
that?
Slaughter is the nickname I have for my wife. This is Tim.
Oh, my God. Now, Tim, that is between
she call you
maggot? And her.
She puts him in the cobra clutch and tells him goodnight.
Hey,
well, we see who wears the pants in Tim's family.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely do. When she
told
me you saw a
maggot.
Yes, Sergeant.
My. Okay.
Oh, wow.
My other question
okay.
is, who was one of your biggest inspirations in this business?
Goodness. Well, spending my Friday nights as a young kid, going to the matches, starting at like 5 years old until the NWA changed into WCW and it became the juggernaut that it became. I would have to say the master of the Weaver Lock, Johnny Weaver. Because I used to sit on Johnny Weaver's lap because he would bring the boys. He was in charge of the boys when they came to Charleston. He was basically the booker for the show. He put the matches together and he'd sit outside the good guy locker room in a chair, and I'd go sit on his lap, and I used to tell him, "I'm gonna be a wrestler one day." And he goes, "Kid, I believe." He goes, "I believe it, but you really don't want to do it." And I was like, "I'm gonna be one anyway." So yeah, I'd say Johnny Weaver because Johnny Weaver really was a nice guy, but let me tell you something. That's another one you didn't want to mess with. He was a sheriff, you know, in North Carolina. He was a town sheriff, and he didn't play, man. He threw you on the ground for real. And, like, if he didn't want to sell, if you were doing something wrong in a match, oh, no, he'd let you know. Trust me. You'd find out real quick. But, yeah, I'd say Johnny Weaver.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I have to give you a shout-out on what you shared earlier about, you know, dealing with the cancer and everything, you know, and because, you know, as we all know, no one is promised tomorrow. I mean, none of us are. And I wanted to share this story really quick about myself, you know, because I'm not a wrestler, even though I've been threatened, been thrown in the ring a few times by some people, but you know, that's, you know, being the fan that Granny is, you know, but see, I lost my daddy in 2004. And about a month after I lost my dad, I had taken my mom back to Kansas where I used to live to take care of some final things. And I was having some really bad major leg pain in my right leg, and I couldn't hardly get up my aunt and uncle's steps in their house without just like barely crawling. I mean, I was in so much pain, and I got back home to Arkansas, and I was talking to my aunt, who was a nurse for 40 years, and I was telling her what was going on. She says, "Well, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like a blood clot." So I drove myself to the emergency room. I went to the emergency room, and I told my, of course, David, my husband now, we weren't married at the time. We'd only been dating about 8 or 9 months. And my son was like a junior in high school. I said, take Anthony over to my mom's because I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be at the hospital. And he was worried, you know, my son having bipolar disorder, he was very worried about me because we had just lost my dad, you know, just the month before. And he was really close to my dad. So he was having a really hard time. And next thing I know, here's David and my mom at the hospital. I told my mom, I said, go back home, because I said, I don't know what they're going to do with me. Well, long story short, they had found out that I had a blood clot in my right leg. So they put me in the hospital, and they put me on heparin IV. I couldn't even get up and walk to the bathroom. I had to use a bedside commode. I couldn't stand on my right leg. I mean, I couldn't do nothing. So a couple days goes by, and I had finished supper that night, and I was laying there watching TV, and I took this deep breath, and David says, baby, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. I said, I'm feeling like I did this morning. So I called the nurse. My blood pressure was like 166 over 122. She says, just relax. I'm going to go call the doctor. I'll be right back. Well, you know those big plastic basins that they give you to sponge bathe when you're in the hospital? I told David, I said, give me that pan, because I said, I feel like I'm going to get sick. And I started getting sick, and I could not stop throwing up. Well, next thing I know, they got me down on the heart floor, and they had me in this room. And this nurse, she had been the nurse from the devil herself. I mean, she was hateful.
Nurse
she was
Ratchet.
Mean. She was, you know. And, yeah, well, I think worse than that. And I said, can you get me a bedside commode? I have to use the restroom. She says, you have a blood clot. You have to use a bedpan. And she literally threw me on a bedpan and left me there. And David says,
Lord,
if you don't say something, he says, I do not want you back here by yourself. Well, next thing I know, I am like right across from the nurse's station. You could go out my hospital room door, and there was the nurse's station. They had me hook up to heart monitors. I mean, you name it. They had me on every machine I could think of imaginable. The doctor comes in the next morning, and he says, how are you feeling? And I said, well, I don't know what happened last night, but you better be telling me what's going on here. And he said, all I can say is it's a good thing you came in Sunday night when you did. And I looked at him, I said, why? He said, you actually had two blood clots instead of one, and one of the clots broke loose and went to your right lung. He said, if you had not come in Sunday night, you would not be alive this morning.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. You know, I
that's
was just
that can
like,
get right there.
You know, yeah. Because I mean, I was, seriously. I mean, my son was a junior in high school. I had just lost my daddy. I didn't even have time to grieve over my daddy's death. You know,
right.
I was trying to be strong for my mom, strong for my son. David was being strong for me. And I'm, you know, thinking, okay, I mean, I could have died. I mean, I was close to, you know. And so I share that with people, you know, because my whole outlook on life, you were talking about how your whole outlook on life just like totally changed. And I mean, for the longest time, I never knew. I was like, okay, God, you've got to, I get this, you know, I need to focus more on me and not worry about everybody else. I get this, okay? And for the longest time, I'm sure, what is my purpose in life? God, you have got to have a purpose for me because I'm still here, you know? And, of course, that was before...
Yeah.
That was before Granny was even...
Right.
Well, there you go.
Granny Oyster was even thought of. So I guess now
go.
I kind of know what my purpose, you know, helping with Wrestling for a Cause, helping, you know, going to the different wrestling shows that I go to. I mean, you know, but it does. I mean, when you're that close
I was
to dying.
I was with you. I mean, my first surgery, my blood pressure shot up and they had to stop the first surgery. I had to wait like 45 minutes for it to get regulated. I could have been toast then, but I didn't say that earlier because I wanted to fast forward. I mean, I would have spent time on that. But
but
I mean, the whole thing is it just changes your total perspective on life.
Yeah. And so I appreciate the fact that I'm still here each and every day.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why I don't take life for granted. And I tell people you can't take life for granted.
No.
But I just wanted to share that story. But thank you, Velvet, for doing what you do, what you've done for the business. I mean, I think Granny would have a lot of fun watching,
you
know, you know, I would love it. I mean, I would absolutely love it. I mean,
well, I'll save one for you. We'll come to Arkansas. I'll save one.
All right. That's
well,
great.
As soon as we can get going up in Arkansas again.
There you go.
That's right. So here's
look,
what we're going to do next. Todd?
The I got in both the cases for our folks here, big shout out to the medical staff being on top of the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't ask for a better team. I have four amazing doctors, and I for real. Thank you for saying that. That is awesome. For real.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't. I do have a funny story for you, Todd, if you'd like to hear that real quick about doing chemo. It was quite funny. I have a port in, so I have a double, so they could pretty much fast track me to get in and out. So I'm sitting there, my daughter's with me. She's 17 now, but she was 16 at the time, and it was last year. So anyway, we're rolling around and getting there, and they hook me up, and this chick comes in with a guitar. She comes up and goes, "Would you like me to sing you a song? I do music therapy." I went, daughter, and we both at the same time went, "No, but thank you." So she's like, "Okay, maybe later I'll come back." I said, "Okay." So she walks halfway across the room, and somebody said, "Sure." And she starts playing, and she started to sing, and we both had headphones in, and we looked at each other and said, "What in the god awful is that?" I pulled my headphones out, and I was like, "She can play guitar, but she certainly can't sing." It was awful. I was like, "That's supposed to help me feel better getting chemo? Holy crap." I looked at my daughter and said, "I want to go over there and grab that guitar and hit her over the head with it like the Honky Tonk Man." And my daughter starts out laughing. And the nurse came over and goes, "Hey, what's so funny?" And I told her, she goes, "You know, that wasn't nice." I said, "That's not nice. I don't even know what she's singing. It's god awful." But it was funny. You had to be there for that. It was crazy. I was like, "Oh, my God."
Thank you. Appreciate chemo. You know?
You know you're getting better when you start making fun of people that need to be made fun of. And I'm sorry, but those people do exist. They just do.
And they do.
All right,
they
so
do.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Malcolm, and then we're going to go to Dave Atwell. And then I'm going to get to ask the last question. Is that okay?
Cool.
I want Dave to go first.
Okay, Dave Atwell.
Now we're 12 after, and bottom of the hour, we got a hard stop.
That's right. So we've got 12 minutes, so we've got time for three questions. So we're in good shape. So, Dave Atwell, Malcolm has yielded to you.
Hey, you know, real quick, like, it's funny. I go in there to refresh my beverage, and you always wonder if you're a parent. You know, when you're a parent, you always wonder, you know, like, am I doing this right? You know, did I do everything that I could have to raise my children correctly? I just walked through the living room to refresh my beverage, and my son has a cold beer, and he's playing Knights of the Old Republic right now on the widescreen, and I'm going, I'll be damned. I haven't done anything else right in my life. It's that boy in there right now. God damn it. He's had that cold beer and makes me proud.
That's funny.
And anywho, all right, Dave, get on with your damn question. Pardon my
language. Wow.
And Velvet, not to put you on the spot,
but
you know,
I'm gonna
like
put you on the spot.
That's it. Like
pretty
music,
much.
The music now just doesn't have harmony like it did in the 70s and 80s and everything. Wrestling, for me, has kind of done the same thing. To a certain extent, it's been a victim of its own circumstance. I mean, with the political correctness and all that kind of jazz, you really can't get away with what you used to and everything. Do you ever think we're going to have another
run where we had the flares, where we had the Stings, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, the Mankinds. Are we ever going to get back to that? Or are we going to be just kind of, you know, you know where I'm heading with this.
Yeah. I think history tends to repeat itself, and it really does in the wrestling business, because when it gets stagnant, you're looking for something new and you're looking for something else. What's the, always the most consistent thing? It's an old school wrestler is always consistent. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that it will go back to that, because a lot of these guys can't go 60 minutes. I mean, Flair, Dusty, Sting, you name them, could go 60. Dusty Rhodes, of all people, could go 60 minutes or better. Okay, Steamboat. Oh, yeah. Oh, Steamboat was amazing. But I'm just saying, you had guys that could go 60 minutes in a main event, and they would go 60 minutes. I mean, today it's like, we got to get all these spots in, but we only got 12 and a half minutes to 18 minutes. Let's hurry up. And then they want to know why they look like somebody just took a rag doll and threw it in some hot water.
Right.
It will repeat itself, though. I do believe that.
Does even
what about
the
Omega?
You know,
Omega Okada.
Does that mean I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Steve. Sorry, go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Might have been Dave.
No, I mean,
sorry.
I was going to say, if we're talking 60
Omega,
minutes.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know that they can do that, but you look at the average of them.
The majority.
Maybe a handful can only really, really do it. And to what he was saying, I'm going to tell you right now, between those two, I believe Hangman Adam Page can do it. You know, Dustin and Cody can do it. There's a few that can do it. Yeah, between from what you get to see on TV, because they're only geared for 12 to 18 minutes. And that's all they give. That's it. You
right.
know, that's what they have to – they're in their mind. Oh, I've got 18 minutes from start to finish. And, you know, these guys, they had an opening and a finish. Everything else was called in the ring. They fed off the crowd. If Flair was getting over on Dusty and they were mad, Dusty go, keep on. And then he goes, let me get a quick comeback and cut me off. And that's how it worked, because you wanted everybody to have a great cheer moment and, oh, dang it, he cut him off, you know? And I think some of those guys can do it. But as what Dave asked, yes, I think it will go back to that, because I think you'll have some standouts like a Kenny Omega and a Hangman Adam Page and a few others.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to it.
All right. That's awesome. Now, Malcolm Wildman, you're the last
question.
Co-panelist to get a question. What's your question, Malcolm?
Yeah, Dr. Velvet. I'm sorry. Velvet. How did you feel? Did you lose your father, and how did it feel when you lost him?
Well, I would tell you right now, my father lived to be the ripe old age of 92. Never lost his faculties, spoke all the way till his death. He died in the VA here in Charleston. And under the new, the only thing that Obama did right was help some of the veterans and help turn some of the VAs around. It's the only thing he did right. So when my father died, he was the first veteran to get walked through the entire hospital with an American flag draped over him. And everybody who was a veteran, whether they were a patient or worked there, stood at attention and saluted him as he went by. And the nurse that took care of him, worked that night and got off. And when she found out the next morning that my father had passed at 5:30 in the morning, she came back to push him through that hospital. So, I mean, I listen, it's hard losing a parent, but I'm going to tell you right now, it was harder losing my mom than my father. My father was a World War II veteran. He got pulled out of the University of Notre Dame. He only had 1 year left of college when he got drafted. He played football for the University of Notre Dame. He boxed at Notre Dame. He boxed in the Navy. He did all those things. So, you know what? Yes, it's hard, but I have to pay homage to him because if it weren't for our fathers, my family, none of us would be here, number one. And number two, none of us would have been the athletes that we were. So I have to give that to him. So, yes, it's hard, but you know what?
Yeah.
You just have to deal with it, dude.
Yeah, Bill,
it's a part of life.
When I lost my dad, he was talking to me. He was an electrician. He was changing an outlet for my stepmother at her house, and we were down in the garage. And Dad was getting some tools and stuff, and he was talking to me about Malcolm. When I die, and I'm going to die pretty soon, he said, I don't want you to mourn over my death. I want you to keep living. Keep living.
Damn right.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep, you know, being happy, doing things that make you. See, when you guys were talking about, you know, Granny was talking about injuries and your injuries and death, you know, like on In the Room last night, they were talking about wrestlers that have died like Road Warrior Animal. I hate that. I hate death, and I hate hearing about people injured.
Yeah, it's a part of life, though.
I just want to keep living and ignore that.
Exactly.
Stuff. I mean, I want to accept it, but I kind of want to ignore it.
Well, you know what? You do what you got to do at the end of the day, and you know what? You keep loving what you're doing. You keep living for what you're doing, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I just want to say I respect. I joke and laugh a lot, but I respect everybody that has gone through health problems, that has gone through deaths. You know, it's something that you don't laugh about. You know,
no,
I can be comical and I can be serious. Right now, I'm being very serious. So,
all right. Cool. Dr. John.
Yes, sir.
It's up to you.
Well,
now.
I guess we have about 8 minutes left. And I'm going to show us what magic is. Velvet,
yes.
If you had it to do over again, just like this. Yes or no?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Nothing like being in that ring, win, lose, or draw, in front of 2 people or 10,000 people. Does not matter. I would not change it, any of it, none of it.
I'm laughing because I'm so glad you said you change it, because otherwise we wouldn't be here right now on Pop Culture Stars. So now, as we go around the ring, to everybody gets one sentence to say goodbye to you and or to say goodbye to everybody who's listening to this show. So everybody gets one sentence. So I'm going to do it in the following order so that everybody is ready. And then I'm going to talk an extra minute to make sure everybody has a chance to get their one sentence in, Todd. Dave. Anyway, we're going to go ladies first, Granny Hulkster. Then we're going to go to Malcolm. Then we're going to go to Steve, if Steve is still here. Then we're going to go to the co-hosts. We're going to go to Tim, Todd, and Dave. And God, if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. And also, by the way, I have a new friend. And my new friend is Chester the dog. Chester barked for 3 hours when he was in my guest. No, and let me tell you what Chester did. I looked at him and I said, Chester, I've got to do a podcast for 90 minutes. Will you please be quiet? You have not heard one peep out of this dog. He understands English. And that's why I like Chester. That's why Chester's probably my real best friend. And I wanted to acknowledge Chester.
Not a Democrat.
Rubbing his head. All right, so now Granny Hulkster, one sentence, please, then followed by Malcolm, then followed by Steve. Granny Hulkster, what is your sentence?
Well, Velvet, thank you for doing what you've done for the business, and thank you to all of you wonderful guys tonight for bringing some joy and laughter back to Granny after my horrible afternoon today, but God love each and every one of you all. Thanks, guys. Y'all mean the world to me.
Granny, we love you. Does everybody agree? Give her a round of applause.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you all too.
Love you, Granny. Malcolm Wildman, what have you got to say in one minute or one sentence to Velvet?
You better make it 1 minute.
Yeah, this is the toughest question you've ever had.
Velvet and Granny, I'm sorry for all the pain you've gone through over the years. I wish I could erase it, but I can't. But I have total respect for what you've gone through. Pain is no, you know, people deal with it. Pain is no fun at all. I've had some painful problems over the years I've overcome, but nothing like you guys have gone through. And I just want you to know I respect both of you for that. And I think talking to Todd and Tim and Dave, Dr. John, Velvet, Granny Hulkster, Steve, if I missed anybody, I'm sorry, but I think I got everybody. But as the Miz would say, talking to you guys on this show is awesome. And I'm done.
Thank you, Malcolm, and the Miz. Yeah, we have to get him on here too. Is Steve still with us?
I'm certainly not thanking the Miz for anything. I had to feel there.
Oh my God, you're not going to have a talk tomorrow now. Okay. All right, Steve. What is your sentence?
Thanks. Just thanks for having me on. Hopefully Velvet and I can message afterwards for any further questions. I'd love to hear about your trainer after the show.
Cool.
All right.
I want to catch
Steve.
Up with Todd. I think Todd's pretty cool.
Yeah. Todd,
oh God, Velvet, be careful. Don't get him thinking like that. Try to keep him down. He's pretty good. Speaking of Todd, here's Tim. Tim, what's your
Tim.
I thank God for everyone's health, for all the guests that we've had tonight, and look forward to all the shows that we have in the future. It's been great. Damn it, that was three sentences.
Well, that was great. That was really good. I like that. We got it on tape.
Funny.
So that's good. Todd Saxon.
My
what
man.
Got to say for you.
All right, this is what I'm going to go with. Granny, you can find me on Facebook. I am me. If you need to talk, I'm here. And that goes for all of you. I'm happy that I am back. I'll give you my digits. Ain't a big deal. Y'all have been very, very real, and y'all are the absolute best. I know that's a lot of commas for one sentence. I apologize.
That's right, but that's okay.
For grammar, but y'all are the absolute best. I'm here if you need an ear. Big hugs, group.
So who's friends with you on Facebook so I can get your stuff?
Me. Look under Todd.
Okay.
All right.
You got it.
All right, that's great. All right, Dave Atwell.
Hey, Velvet, well done tonight. We need to get you back. We appreciate you showing up and coming on
man.
Putting on a good show tonight. We really appreciate it. And
y'all welcome. I'll be back. Yeah,
because we will definitely have you back. We had a good show tonight. And if anybody needs my help, don't call.
I know you would say that. Well, I tell you what.
Dave did that fast. Nobody would ever know, but that was about five or six sentences, really.
That was horrible, Dave, but we still love you anyway. So all I got to say is to formally announce, because I have 1 minute left, to formally announce I'm having lunch with the ladies tomorrow, Judy Martin and Susan Green. And Velvet hooked me up because Velvet and I are putting together a brand new book called Five Women That Changed the Face of the World of Wrestling. And it'll be Susan Green. It's going to be Judy Martin. It's going to be Leilani Kai. And we have two more surprise people to be on there. So it's going to be a great book. It'll be out in 6 months or maybe less. So we'll let everybody know how it's going. Velvet, can we have you back? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
I was going to say, if you didn't say no, I was going to erase the show. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's been one of the most enjoyable. That I can remember. So thanks. Goodbye. God bless. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Goodbye. And cool. I'll report on our lunch tomorrow.
Big hug. Take care.
All right. Cool.
Bye.
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 Bye.